Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the OVS Full Year 2023 Financial Results Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Stefano Beraldo, CEO of OVS. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, good afternoon. Thank you. Basically, this is to inform you about the result of the full year 2023, which has been a strange year, characterized by unusually negative weather condition, which impacted negative both first half and also second half, with a very rainy beginning of summer, with one and a half months April and May, which has seen a sales challenged by rain and cold weather, and where the recovery has been able to take place only during the month of July and August, when characterized by lower margin because of markdown, of the typically seasonal markdown period. We started the second half with a similar adverse challenge by the weather, because summer last year has been very long. Until mid-October, temperature in Italy were by far above the seasonality average, the seasonal average temperature. This again caused a loss of sales during a very high margin period, because in the month of September and October, we do not have sales typically. And the recovery has been made during the month where the quality of margin, let me say, is lower, because the sales improvement took place in January and February. So basically, in spite of this adverse weather condition, which in my opinion has been the main reason for a negative market performance, market has been down by 2.5%. We have been able, again, I think for the, I don't remember which consecutive year, to outperform the market with this +1.5%. That can seem a small amount, but given what we have been forced to lose during the months which I mentioned, having been impacted by the negative weather, should have been much higher in presence of normal weather condition. Having said that about sales, all the remaining KPIs has been positive. Traffic improved, EBITDA improved, not that much, but only because of the reason which I mentioned. So, I think that we can be satisfied about what happened to the EBITDA, given what I explained before. Good cash flow generated during the year, in spite of being in the peak of our extraordinary investment generated by digital improvements, logistic improvements, beginning of the rollout of the smart cash counters. Also thanks to a positive contribution to a good management of working capital. We have already told in our press release that we are very happy about the current trading, which again is a bit strange, because we performed very well in the beginning of the year, in spite of the late deliveries generated by the Suez difficulties. And the sales has been very good because we sold more than expected our former season product during the month of February. And also we are benefiting from what has been until 2 days ago a very warm beginning of April. All in all, nevertheless, the current trading is very encouraging also with reference to the good momentum that our brand is benefiting from, and in principle should be a good indication also for the positive mood that we have with reference to the rest of the year. As usual, I hand the word to Francesco Leoncini to give you more color and more detail on our results. Thank you.
Thank you, Stefano. I would start from page number 5 to recap the evolution of the results of OVS Group along the year. As also commented in previous calls, Q1, OVS has started very well with a robust Q1 with sales growing by 12%. And this is particularly important when looking to the current performance that mounts on already a double-digit growth last year. Q2 and Q3 were strongly penalized by the adverse weather, and now we can comment Q4 that sees a positive sales increase by 1.7%, about 7 million, that translate into about 5 million euro EBITDA increase, also thanks to the better profitability that Fall-Winter 23 has versus Fall-Winter 22, given the raw material price increase. So overall, and I move to page number 6, we have a growth of 1.5% in terms of sales and a couple of million euro EBITDA increase from 180 to 182 million euro in the year. The net results is then slightly penalized by an increase in D&A and financial charges, but overall in a picture where the business is growing. As we can see then on page number 7, with the split by brand and by channel. By brand, we can see that the performance was quite homogeneous between OVS and Dupim, both increasing by 1.3-1.4%, with stable results in terms of EBITDA margin. While looking by channel, we see the growth of about 3% in the DOS channel and a slight decline in the franchising sale. This decline is mostly due to delays in the deliveries of the month of January, and so also on the shipment from our side to our partners due to the Suez crisis. To the benefit of 2024, when we expect that during the year we will have a sort of normalization of this event. On page number 8, we can comment the very positive trend of working capital that overall declines by 10% and generates about 15 million euros of cash. On one side, we have this reduction in trade receivable, partially due to the shipments, but also to the fact that we perfectly managed to absorb some delays, that we granted, some payment term extensions that we granted to our partners at the end of October. And this is, I think, a very key element in the relationship that we have, because we are able to support our partners when needed, as they had to after a tough September-October due to the weather, but also being able to bring things to normality as soon as possible. The inventory is starting to reducing versus last year. We are not yet at full potential because due to the bad weather we have some leftover, but as commented many times, this is just a time effect because the ability to sell even previous season products is very strong in OVS, and so we expect also very good result in the 2024 year on this point. Trade payables, apart from the effect of stock, are increasing together with the business. Page number 9 on investments. 2023 and 2024 represent the peak of the effort of the company on the supply chain and digitalization side. I have almost completed the automation of our Piacenza distribution center. We are going to start in 2024 the investment in our Bari Puglia plant dedicated to refurbishment and circular supply chain. While on the digital side, we are converting all our cash systems in the stores with up-to-date omni-channel tools that will increase our ability to dialogue with the customers. Another area of investments, also in terms of increasing versus last year, are the refurbishment, always with very good results. For the one of you that are in Milan, I invite you to see the new store of Via Dante that was renewed a couple of weeks ago, and that shows the potential of the new format. Page number 10, the cash flow basically collects all the information in a confirmation of the 64 million euros cash generated last year. And so for the third year in a row, OVS is delivering good results in terms of cash generation. 2021, I remember, was above 120 million also due to the effect after the COVID. But all in all, we have these capacity to deliver a robust result despite the fact that we are still in suboptimal conditions due to the negative weather that we suffered during the year. Page number 11 puts the light on what how we did use this cash during the year. And as last year, we used it mostly to deliver these values to the shareholders, either in the under the way of dividends, and as you know, we also delivered, distributed in extraordinary dividend during the month of February. And we have also the proposal looking forward to 2024 to the shareholder meeting end of May to increase the dividend from 6 to 7 cents per share, and also investing in buyback. So overall, and I move to page 12, the change in the net financial position is positive, but not so big, also due to the fact that we have already delivered to the shareholder this amount. And by the way, the level of the end of the year is already below the 160 million amount that we raised with the bond, with the sustainability-linked bond last in 2021. The leverage ratio is further declining to 0.8, so in a very low value. I move to page number 14 to start the comment of a little bit of the current trading, and then of course I expect that on that topic there will be some questions. As said, this 75 days of 2024 can be split on one side the first couple of months, during which we suffered some delays for the incoming spring-summer 24 goods, but the company was more than able to offset the missing goods with prolonging the sales and also using previous year products. So we had already growth even in the difficult February-March, and then in these 15 days of April, we had even a double-digit growth due to the positive weather. This time was with a positive effect. So with a very good start of the year. We expect, so overall in 2023 on one side, 2024, sorry, on one side, this positive effect and also the momentum that was mentioned by Stefano at the beginning to sustain positive growth along the full year. On the other side, as mentioned, we are close to finalizing an agreement on the new national contract for labor that will bring some increase. But overall, these should be less than the improved sales and gross margin. We are going ahead on the Golden Point project that we started. We communicated with the final agreement on the investment on the 2nd of April, and on that, I think there will be more to come in the following calls. I bring back the words to Stefano or to questions.
Thank you, Francesco. I think now the question time is open.
This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone with a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Francesco Brilli of Intermonte.
Buonasera, grazie di avermi dato la parola. Avevo un paio di domande. La prima, diciamo, le prime sui costi, sulla struttura dei costi e poi sul working capital. In particolare sul costo del personale, che quest'anno è stato, come incidenza sulle vendite, fondamentalmente flat anno su anno. Se ci potete aiutare a inquadrare un po' questo aumento che è atteso per questa rinegoziazione del contratto di lavoro, se ci dobbiamo aspettare dei livelli più simili come incidenza allo storico, intorno a un punto percentuale più alto rispetto a quest'anno, o qualsiasi indicazione, insomma, sarebbe molto utile. E la seconda domanda è sempre sui costi, sui costi sui rents, visto un'accelerazione nel corso del 2023 dei costi di affitto, l'incidenza è aumentata un po', ecco, come ci dobbiamo aspettare l'evolversi di questa linea di costo, se è prevista, diciamo, il livello del 2023 come stabile o ci sono magari degli adeguamenti o ulteriori negoziazioni che possono portarlo a livelli più simili allo storico. Un'ultima domanda sul working capital, ecco, anche qui se ci potete aiutare a capire l'incidenza del trade working capital sulle vendite, che nel 2023 è stata particolarmente favorevole, ha generato circa 15-16 milioni di cassa. Ecco, se questo livello è sostenibile o dove si potrebbe assestare nel corso del 2024 a fine anno. Grazie.
Ok, I'm not sure if I have to answer in Italian, because I don't know if we have only Italians to attend into this conference. In case there are also no speaking. No, I try it for the benefit of time. I think I suggest that I will repeat very shortly your question, and with my answer, everyone will understand in any case. And eventually, you will correct me eventually. Basically, you asked some comment about the impact of cost and working capital, and on cost, you asked basically what is going to happen to cost of labor, given that you have seen a modest increase in year 2023, and we announced that we expect a major cost increase due to the ongoing negotiations which retail companies are having are undertaking with the union. We expect, as we said, a cost increase, and in terms of percentage, we believe that we are going to have like a 0.5, 0.6, 0.7% increase of incidence of cost of labor on sales. This obviously will depend also from sales, because if sales will remain sustained in terms of trend, this percentage might decrease. So there is also the sales variable that will impact. What is interesting to notice that is that in any case, we expect a cost of labor increase not higher than maybe 5 to 7% compared to the year before. On rent, the second question was focusing on rent. You noticed that we had some rent increase in terms of incidence of rent on the sales. This is right, but this is mostly because sales has been lower than what we expected because of the reason that we explained in the beginning of the call related to the lack of sales during the difficult months impacted by weather, adverse weather condition. Basically, what is happening and what we can expect that should happen in year 24 is that we will increase our rent in line with Istat. So there is a kind of a 3.5% rent increase depending from Istat, while the, call it, inventory, if I may say, the stock of savings that we have been able to achieve will be maintained. So basically, year after year, we continue to renegotiate the annual effect of the rent savings in order to maintain the impact of rent stable, with the exception of Istat, obviously, which expect to be in the range of 3.5%. Last question was on working capital. And on working capital, as you noticed, we had this positive contribution to the cash flow generation due to 15, 16 million of working capital improvement. We expect to be able to have a slight further improvement for year 24 due to the fact that still we believe we have some tail of inefficiency in our inventory, much smaller compared to the year before, but we believe that another 5-10 million of inventory reduction compared, in terms of same perimeter, we should expect. So a slight contribution on working capital is expected also in year 2024.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from Daniele Alibrandi of Stifel.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks very much for taking my question. Congrats on results. I have three questions today for you. First one on CapEx. I appreciated your comments regarding the development of CapEx over the next few years. They should peak in 23-24. I was wondering, where do you see stabilizing in 2025? And if you can give us some understanding on how these two special projects that will be completed this year can help you from an operative performance going forward. Should we expect a structural lower working capital intensity? This was my take, but just to check this with you. Second question on Golden Point, can you give us an understanding of the key financial of this company in terms of especially profitability and how and to which level you could improve this? And the third one, where do you see profitability in terms of EBITDA evolving in 2024? Thanks.
CapEx, year 2024 will be the last year characterized by special project. We are finalizing the, as Francesco mentioned, the diffusion of our new smart cash counters, which will improve our CRM abilities, our multi-channel competencies, and our capacity to entertain a proper dialogue with every single customer based on his/her habits as a customer behavior. And the other important project that was regarding the improvement of the logistic system in order to provide more flexibility and efficiency to the system is basically over. And the last project regards the establishment in Puglia, as Francesco mentioned, of a segment of our digital innovation activities, and also of the refurbishing and activities related to the possibility to improve our capacity to properly carry over our unsold product to the following year, basically increasing the life the lifespan of our merchandising. All these projects will be finished during the year 24, and consequently we do not expect to enter in 25 and following year in the same level of CapEx. We believe that we can have like a 20 million lower CapEx if you want to normalize the expected CapEx for year 25 and following years. And in terms of the second part of your question, when you ask what is happening in terms of improvements of our operation thanks to this investment, the only thing I can say is that as far as concerned the improvement on the planning and distribution of product, shortening the delivery times and improving the quality of our distribution system, putting the right product in the right store in the right moment, we are already benefiting from the initial results of those projects. The second question was related to Golden Point. The company has nil profitability today in terms of EBITDA, but most of this is because the company decided to open a small number of non-performing stores with a second brand called Nikla, which we obtained and we decided together with the ownership that will be closed. And the closure will be charged to the former ownership. So we will not have any cost, we will not suffer any cost because of those closures. So once this non-performing store will be closed, we speak about 10, 12 stores, not more, we remain with 380 beautiful stores in great location across Italy, good location in shopping mall or good location downtown, with already a very good sales density. If we compare with our kids store, for instance, the sales density of the Golden Point store is 40% higher. The intake margin of Golden Point is already, before our synergies, much higher than the kids intake, and this is a common practice. So I mean that all the underwear chains are operating a business with higher intake and higher gross margin compared to kids or a general apparel brand. Why do I compare with kids? Because as some of you might have noticed, we opened hundreds of kids stores in our history. We have now more than 600, 700 kids stores. And when we look at the metrics of Golden Point, we speak about small stores, similarly to the kids store, stores that might be operated also in a very efficient way by franchisee partner, like we do with our kids store. Our plan basically is based on three main pillars. One is, we are happy with noticing that the quality of the brand, the quality of the locations, and the quality of the merchandising in terms of beachwear are fully satisfactory. What we know is that the company is missing in terms of merchandising in all the other categories where we can provide them value added, like socks, like nightwear, like lingerie, and like knitwear. These are the areas which accounts for about 60% of the sales of this company, where we are already aware that we can bring a strong value added thanks to our capabilities. This is the first pillar, and thanks to this, we expect to increase sales like for like almost about 20%. Second pillar will be cost synergies. We have already double-checked the cost of the goods that are sourced by Goldenpoint compared to our cost of goods, and we have almost a 10% advantage in cost that we will transfer to the benefit of this chain. Third pillar is that we will open many, many new stores. Most of those stores will be opened by the same entrepreneur, which are already happily partner of OVS with OVS Kids. We are already realizing that all across Italy, there are more than 200 stores that can be opened in the next 3 to 4 years. We are very confident also based on present negotiation and discussions with our partner that dozens of those stores will be open also in year 2025. Next year, we will start already opening new stores, and maybe even in the second part of this year, we will open some new stores. Three pillars for our strategy, which basically draw us to the conclusion that EBITDA that we can expect from this company will move sharply from where it is today to more than 20 million in not more than a three-year time, without material CapEx, because most of the CapEx will be held by franchisee partner. A very interesting story. It's worth mentioning that OVS is already number two or number three operator in market share in underwear. Underwear is not something which is new for us. In beachwear, I think we are number two. In nightwear, we are number two. In socks, we are, I think, number one or two. Basically, we are already a material player in this battleground, and we were missing a standalone brand. I'm convinced that with this brand and our know-how, we add another strong leg to our table. Last question was a more tricky question. You want to know where we end up with our EBITDA in year 2024. We are mid-April. We are in the third month of the year, so I think it's very early to make assumption regarding EBITDA for the full year, because unfortunately, we don't have a portfolio of orders. Our boss are the client, and they decide what to do based on the success of our collection. And unfortunately, and sometimes fortunately, our boss is also the weather. If we have to consider statistics, I expect that this year we should have a normalization of weather. I expect a good contribution for this external condition. I'm sure that our momentum is great because we are attracting new customers thanks to the many new things that we are making in our assortment, in our store, that we are improving in terms of image, in terms of windows, in terms of collections. We are doing super well with Piombo, but we are doing super well also with B. Angel, which is the brand that we launched many years ago with Elio Fiorucci, which has been revitalized, redesigned, and now managed from a very good internal manager. So we are very confident that we will continue attracting younger customers like we are doing today. All those things should generate a positive impact on sales. Then we have some headwind as Suez with increase of the rent for the shipments and with the delay in deliveries. We have some headwind relating the labor cost increase, as we mentioned. We have some tailwind because we have the full year with the lower cost thanks to the normalization of the post-COVID shock cost increase, while year 2023 has been characterized by only the second half with lower cost. So in 2024, we have a full year with lower cost. What will be the combination of all these aspects? It will depend. In principle, might be positive. So we expect that it should be positive. Obviously, there is a variable of sales, which is only partially depending from us, but we are relatively optimistic.
Okay. Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you.
The next question is from Andrea Bonfà, Banca Akros.
Hello, good afternoon to everybody. My question has been almost all answered, so I got a couple of final details, if you allow me this special. One is let's assume that the weather pattern is normalized. Would you say that you can maintain the 5% growth that you are experiencing in the first part of the year? This is my first question. The second one, is there any update on how is Stefano performing, which is now not mentioned anymore? So just these 2 points. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, on the first question, as we said, the answer is yes, it might be possible. We have some new openings this year as well, so some 1.5% of sales might be generated simply by the new openings. Another 2-3% of sales might be generated by like-for-like. So if weather will assist us and the Suez issue will not deteriorate, which I don't believe, because we are already planning in advance in order to avoid the Suez crisis that will impact on cost but not anymore on delivery time in the second half of the year. The achieving the 4-5% increase in sales, you asked 5%, is technically possible. Then the second part of the question was on the Stefanel. Well, Stefanel, we don't mention because it is still immaterial in our global results. The good news to me, and obviously even in this case I need from you guys a good luck, is that finally I am convinced that we have found the solution, which means we have found the right quality on the assortment. I am very optimistic regarding the product development, which I have seen during winter regarding the next autumn-winter collection. I'm very positive. What I've seen makes me optimist, and I think that the second half we will see a Stefanel able to perform much better than how it's performing today. Today, basically, the performance is stable, while our assumption was to see a sales increase, but the quality of our collection has not been in line with our requirements, and we have been forced to undertake organizational decisions with a change of the most important player in this game, which is the style and product director. So we changed, we promoted an internal person which is super good. I'm very optimistic about I'm very positive about it.
The next question is from Domenico Ghilotti of Equita.
Good afternoon. A few questions. The first is just to say, just to understand how much, in your view, you have lost, say, in 2023 in terms of sales compared to a normal year, just to have some kind of color on that. Then, more broad question is related to your market share. So we have seen that you gain another 20 bips. Can you comment in general on the market dynamics? Who is gaining market share? Who is losing market share? If the online players, pure online players, are recovering speed or not? And in particular, looking at your categories, how are you reacting to in the kids segment where you probably lost a little bit of ground compared to the past?
Okay, the first question is simple. We estimate that we have lost between 30 and 40 million. In terms of market dynamics, we are growing more than other or similarly to other. We are growing similarly to Inditex, similarly to Primark, and we don't see any other company growing like us. Probably a small company called Terranova, which is growing well. Then we continue to see negative performance on the Benetton side, on the H&M side, on other player side. Among the small players which are still growing, we have this Pepco group from Poland, even if the path of their growth is slowing down heavily, and they are starting closing some store in the north of Italy. They are still opening in the south of Italy. We don't see a positive figure from the e-commerce player, with the exception of Shein, which is starting comparing in the radar screen of Sita Nielsen. The market share is still very low, but they are growing. We don't know how much because we don't have the figure of Shein 1 year ago. In terms of our performance versus the market in kids, we are indeed recovering market share. So this year we increased our market share in kids also because we decided to partially remodulate our price strategy that last year generated a price increase, a material price increase. This year we decreased slightly some price in the entry level, and the result has been a recovery versus the market. If I'm not wrong, the market in kids this year lost 5%, Francesco tell me, 5%, and we are basically minus 1 point something. So we recovered the market share, and we don't see basically new threat in the market. I forgot to mention also Mango, which is doing well. But basically, these are the players which are doing well. And all these brands are strong in women. And we are very happy because we are improving in women more than in men and more than in kids. So it means that we are partially, we are continuing to partially replace the space dedicated to kids in favor of the space dedicated to women. And now the total turnover of women became similar to the turnover of kids, and we expect that in the next couple of years there will be a switch between the two categories, with the women continuing to be the one that is supposed to grow the most.
Okay, thank you. And maybe just to follow up, so if you can give us also some updates on the other special projects that you launched. You were mentioning beauty accessories, the sport, so the outwear, and the gap opportunities.
We are very happy with, I would say with all. There are different degrees of execution in the project. We have almost finalized our change, our improvement in the model of beauty care, beauty segment, with the introduction of new brand, with the introduction of indie brand, with the introduction of a house brand in this category. We have been able to totally revitalize one segment which is attracting the youngest customer, girl mostly, obviously, with the makeup, also to the benefit of B Angel, which is the natural apparel segment dedicated to this category of customers. In the sport, which you introduced basically during last winter with the launch of Altavia with Deborah Compagnoni, we are very happy. We achieved our target. We are cash positive already in the first season, which was not in our budget, honestly. We supposed to have lost some hundreds of thousands of euro, but at the end of the season, we can say that the sell-through has been higher than expected, and we are cash positive on it since the first season. Now we are in this moment we are on air with a campaign regarding tennis, paddle, biking, and hiking. So the result of this will be seen in the next coming months. On accessories, we are still working on what I believe will become visible in this, starting from the second half of year 24. And with Gap, we are not excited. I'll be in New York in a couple of weeks to discuss with the CEO an improvement in margin and commercial condition, or I will review my priorities. We are not losing any money with Gap, but we are not making money. So basically, this is not the place where I want to stay forever. So basically, either they will change some commercial condition, which will enable us to be more aggressive there, or we will not invest too much effort in this.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Federico Belluati of Kepler.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. My question is on current trading. Basically, you cited two drivers. The one of April, which has high temperatures, and the one of some delays in the world sale, which went from Q4 2023 to Q1 2024, basically. So can you please give us more color of the size of these two effects, please? That's it.
Well, the negative impact basically is due to the fact that we are missing 30-40 million of goods in our shelf that we expected to have in the store now. So the fact that we are achieving positive like-for-like in spite of what can be like 6-7% of merchandising that we miss in terms of total intake means that there is a good momentum and people are visiting OVS, and if they don't find what we expected to be able to offer to them, they are happy buying something else. The second aspect regarding the weather is that The beginning of April, until a couple of days ago, has been characterized by unusually hot temperature. This helped, obviously. But to tell you in a different way, we have been positive every week of the period, either because our customer appreciated our sales during the month of February, either because our customer appreciated our collection, spring collection in March, or either because our customers are buying because they need a lightweight garment because it was very hot in the beginning of April, but turn in each of the way, it means that the company, the brand is attracting customers and we are working well. Difficult for me to elaborate more.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Francesco Brilli of Intermonte.
Well, thank you. Now in English, and apologies for before, I was just lost in thoughts. And a quick follow-up, I was just curious if you have some initial evidence or highlight that you want to share with us on the openings made abroad for Piombo stores in US and Europe.
What I can tell you, I'm happy that you made the question because this is something which to me is very important from a strategic point of view. I don't remember if I told you guys that we decided to open 3 stores to be flagship in 3 countries where the target was not to open stores, but to be visible by the department stores because we believe that in those 3 customers, opening standalone store in those 3 markets, opening standalone Piombo store should be too expensive, but it was indispensable in order to become interesting to the eyes of the buyer of the department store in the same 3 countries. What happened is that in France, where we opened 1 store in Rue Saint-Honoré, we have been able to enter in Galerie Lafayette. Now we are in Galerie Lafayette Paris and in Galerie Lafayette Lyon with Piombo Corner. And the sales are twice as big than the budget, so we are super happy. We are about to enter, I hope, and I cross finger, in Corte Inglés in Spain, where we opened 1 store in Cale Coelho with Piombo again. And I have a couple of meetings with the department store in New York in a few weeks from now, and crossing finger, we are able to enter in one of them, but this is still too early. So basically, opening stores as a measure, as an instrument to be observed and to become interesting to the eyes of a department store manager seems to be positive.
Thank you.
The next question is from Luca Bacoccoli of Intesa Sanpaolo.
Hello, good afternoon everyone. Just 2 follow-ups from my side. The first one regards the impact of the Red Sea disruption on logistics. So I was wondering if you can quantify the impact expected on 2024 in terms of higher cost and or lower sales. And the other one regards the strong start to the year. You mentioned that you managed to grow the top line selling the autumn winter collection, and I was wondering if those sales were done through heavy discount, and if we should expect some margin contraction at least on the first part of the first quarter this year. Thank you.
Okay, on Suez, what I can say is that we have 2 different effects. One is simply purely going directly to the cost because we have a cost increase. We estimate that we are in a range of about 5 million in terms of cost increase because of air freight, because of increase of the weight transport, etc. In terms of delay, we are suffering in this moment about a 40 million delay of goods. Fortunately, and crossing fingers, as of now, this delay is not impacting our sales materially. Needless to say that with these items in the shelf, our sales might be higher. But again, touching wood this time, this delay until now doesn't seem to impact, to affect too much our sales. In terms of gross margin, I have to say that we have a better intake, first of all. And so we start from a better point, thanks to what I said before. Then, obviously, as you correctly noticed, because we increased during the month of February and the beginning of March, as we said, the sales of former season goods, we had to incur in a normal discount on a slightly higher number of items. So the combined effect is higher intake, a bit higher discount, and I tell you, we don't expect to have a negative margin effect in the gross margin of first Q. Maybe it will end up stable compared to last year. And on the full year, we are up. We are positive. We believe that we have a slight gross margin increase.
Okay. Thank you. Very clear.
Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Domenico Ghilotti of Equita.
Yeah, a follow-up. Just a clarification when you say, when you said 5 million additional cost in Suez, you mean year to date? You mean your projection for the full year? So what is the timeline for this indication? And the other question is on Piombo. So can you share with us where we stand today in terms of the contribution and mix between the different categories, so women, men, and kids on Piombo?
Okay. The effect of Suez of the 5 million will be basically 60%-70% to the charge of the 2024 profit and loss, and the rest will be incorporated in the year-end goods. So will be also to the charge of 2025 year. On Piombo, you are curious to know about the breakdown between men and women. Let me say that we have now a total amount. I'm looking at the figure. 100. What is the amount there?
100.
100 million, yeah. And it impacts about 12% on the total women sales, about 20% of the total men sales, and about 1.5% on the kids sales.
The trend has been very supportive on the women's?
The trend is good. The trend is positive. In this moment, like for like, we are positive, largely positive on women and positive on men.
But I mean, in terms of penetration, so you see probably room for women to reach, so the contribution of men, or is the brand that you see structurally?
Maybe not that high, but the room to increase the penetration of Piombo, either men and women, is still material. So every time we, for instance, in this moment, if you visit our store, you will see a new project called Piombo Contemporary. You can call a sort of quiet luxury approach inspired to mild and soft colors and fitting, more appropriate for men and women which are looking for a more quiet and less colorful approach. A sort of inspiration to Cucinelli, Zegna, this kind of brand. You will find in the store now, and I can tell you that this project is performing extremely well. You have a picture, page 8, you have a picture of what I mean with this reference.
Okay.
And in the store you will find under the Piombo Contemporary label. We also have another project you can see also on the web, for instance, which is Piombo, we call it Piombo, it's like a minimal style. In this moment I forgot. Selection, Piombo Selection. We call it Piombo Selection. So from this example you see that there is still a lot of room to improve this brand, which we own. And we use this brand to justify better fabrics, better finishing, and also higher prices. And hopefully we will continue in this trend.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone.
Okay. So I think the conference is all. We spent together 1 hour. So thank you for your question, and I hope to talk to you soon during the next quarter result presentation. Thank you and good afternoon to everybody.